Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 8th. I'm Joy Cardine, and I want to thank all of you who contributed to our just concluded spring membership drive. The last pledge drive of our fiscal year ended yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock, as soon as we reached the $275,000 goal. More than 2,100 members pledged support during this last drive, and we are pleased to welcome 676 new members to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Thank you so very much for your support in this drive or in past drives, or if you're an ongoing contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. We could not do this without you. And now again, as promised, we will resume our full hours of regular programming now through late October, I think, is the next time we might come to you for a pledge drive. So thanks again. This hour, we're going to talk about whether or not you think Wisconsin should build more new nuclear power plants. The legislature will soon consider whether to take the first step in lifting the 1984 moratorium on building new nuclear power plants, and we wonder what you think of this idea. Proponents say that as concerns over greenhouse gases increase, nuclear power is a viable option. They say it's clean and it's safer than ever before. But opponents say it's costly, and there's no place to store the waste, and there are better options than nuclear power. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We will talk with two guests during this hour. We'll start in this first half hour with a proponent of bringing back more nuclear power, or at least a proponent to lifting the moratorium on building new nuclear power plants. And then after the 7:30 news, we will welcome in a guest who is not a fan of nuclear power. And we'll welcome your questions along the way. We will start with Mark Honadell. He is a Republican state representative from South Milwaukee. He is also the majority caucus chair. He serves on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Now, your Special Legislative Committee did a whole bunch of work on this. You even went out to Yucca Mountain?
That is correct.
Yeah. So your whole goal was to what?
Our whole goal during the Ledge Council study was to learn everything we possibly could in regards to the nuclear energy industry, why the moratorium was put on, what to do with the waste, costs of energy. It was a very, very complete study.
Yeah, and you, your committee voted some time ago now to proceed with some sort of legislation to lift the moratorium that we have in place on nuclear power plants?
That is correct. On January 29th of this year, we did have a roll call vote, which passed to repeal the limits on nuclear power plants.
Yeah, and what limits are on them?
Well, quite honestly, Joy, if we go back to the early 80s, when and I even hate to bring this up, but when the Three Mile Island incident happened, the Americans were indoctrinated by the media that the world is coming to an end. And ever since then, we haven't had a rational discussion about nuclear energy in Wisconsin. It's just like we closed the door and that was it. And I truly believe that intelligent energy people should sit down at the table and have a rational discussion now about nuclear energy, because it was so politicized back in the 80s. And I, for one, am one that believes in American technology. We can build some of the best, most efficient, safest nuclear power plants in the world, and we could here in Wisconsin, but yet we have this moratorium. So it's such a roadblock to the marketplace. Yeah. It's something we should correct.
It's my understanding that one of the problems and why this moratorium is there, or why the limitations are there, is because there's no place to store the waste.
And you're absolutely right. This is one of the biggest debates during the Ledge Council study. We in Wisconsin say that we would sure like to open up the industry and see if anybody's interested in building a nuclear power plant. But then they say, okay, what are we going to do with the waste? We go over to Yucca Mountain, and some interesting points I want to put out right now is that ratepayers in this entire country have donated, or not donated, but have paid almost $30 billion in nuclear waste costs, and $9 billion of those dollars were designated to build that hole in Yucca Mountain for our waste. Now, due to politics and the federal government, that hole isn't being able to be used yet, and I find this just abhorrent. You know, ratepayers, taxpayers, we've paid for this to happen. The waste should go there. It's very safe. You'll hear some debate from others that will say, oh, my God, it's got to be safe for 100,000 years. But, Joy, I back up to my earlier statement in saying, don't you think in 10,000 or 100,000 years we'll figure out what to do with this waste or reuse it or recharge it or something?
Mm. But politics or not, until there's some place to put the waste from the nuclear energy production, is it really that smart to lift a moratorium on building new plants in Wisconsin?
Well, and that I would say is a kind of a personal thing. I say lift the moratorium and push the federal government to get their job done and take care of this waste as they said they would and what ratepayers have been paying for all these years. And because if we just keep, you know, wallowing around and not doing anything, the federal government won't have a sense of urgency. We've paid for this project at Yucca Mountain, and we should be able to use it.
We're talking with Mark Honadel. He is a Republican state representative from South Milwaukee. He serves on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power, which is recommending that the legislature proceed with a vote on legislation to lift the moratorium that currently exists in Wisconsin on building new nuclear power plants. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 8th. It's a special At Issue with Ben Marins after 4 this afternoon. It's the annual Kennan Forum from the Institute of World Affairs. Ben Marins will be moderating a discussion on Israeli-Palestinian relations. It's a live broadcast from the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee from 4 until 6 during Ad Issue. We're talking about state legislative action, the consideration anyway, of the state legislature to lift a moratorium on the building of nuclear power plants in Wisconsin. Proponents say this is the way to go, that if we're concerned over greenhouse gas emissions, nuclear power is a cleaner option. They say it's clean, it's safer than ever before, and there shouldn't be any restrictions or limitations on the building of new nuclear power plants in Wisconsin. Our guest this hour serves on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power, which is recommending lifting the moratorium. Mark Honadel, a Republican state representative from South Milwaukee. We'll hear from a guest with a different point of view after 7:30. And we are welcoming your questions and views on this. Tom in Delafield is first. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning. The first thing I have to say is the original founder of Greenpeace is now the leading advocate for nuclear power. I think he's finally come to the realization with all the rest of the options that this is probably our best option at this point. And some of the things you have to look at, we've looked at hydrogen cars. How do you produce the hydrogen? Very inefficient because you have to use either the coal. I mean, it's a lot of electric to produce hydrogen. You feel good about driving a nice, clean car, but what we forget is, how did you produce that hydrogen? Very inefficient method. Photoelectric wind power, very high maintenance on the wind power, very high initial cost at setting these up. Then you have to maintain them down the road. Is it cost effective? Not at this point, it's not. So you and I like to have our lights on at night. We like to have all our little options and our toys and our television sets and other things. what is the best option if we don't want to produce greenhouse effects? We don't. I mean, if you can store it for, and I was just watching on I think it was Discovery Channel, they can store it for more than 10,000 years safely, if not more than that. Like your guest said, that's a lot of time to figure out what to do with it. I mean, what other choices do we have at this point if we don't want to keep producing greenhouse gases?
Yeah, I think our guest in the next half hour will say that there could certainly be more renewable energy used.
But the technology isn't there yet. I mean, I agree. There's other ways out there, but we haven't the technology at this point to make it efficient.
Yeah, and you agree.
Tom brings up a very excellent point. We didn't even get a chance to touch on CO2 emissions, but worldwide, I'm going to say, that nuclear energy keeps 2 billion metric tons of CO2 from going in the atmosphere a year. 2 billion metric tons. So this gentleman is absolutely right. People from the Sierra Clubs, Greenpeace, they've all realized that nuclear energy and our air quality go hand in hand. So it's an issue that really needs to be discussed. You know, the days of fear and publicizing nuclear danger should be long gone, long past us.
Yeah.
Our technology is just wonderful.
Al in La Crosse is with us next. Hi, Al.
Hi. In order to produce nuclear power, you need to mine uranium. In order to mine uranium, you have to exert enormous amounts of electricity generated by fossil fuels, which are generated by CO2 emission causing coal power plants. The enrichment stage of uranium, which is a prerequisite to using it in a nuclear power plant, requires the most enormous amount of energy of any industrial process in the world. Not to mention the fact that when you extract uranium and process it, you emit radiation into the environment, and the people that are the victims of these radiation exposures in uranium-producing areas, like the Navajo and the Pueblo Indians in the Southwest, are experiencing 5 times the rate of lung cancer of any other occupational group because of the deadly effects of radiation. And then you also have to solve the problem of storing it someplace, and the only places that the U.S. government has been able to come up with to store it are on Indian lands, whether it be in Yucca Mountain, on Shoshone land, or in Wisconsin, next to the Menominee Indian Reservation.
Al says, let's go with some of these points by point here. Greenhouse gases are going to happen just to mine the uranium, Mark Honnadell.
Yes, I've heard the same debate in committee, and the percentage of CO2 that would be produced to mine it using carbon fuels is minute, minuscule. When you look at the overall picture compared to the amount of energy we're going to gain running an efficient nuclear plant, I will admit it's there, but in my mind it's minuscule.
Well, is it poisoning Native Americans? Because a lot of the mining happens near reservations and the waste sites are proposed near reservations.
Well, I think the gentleman here was, you know, doing some of the same things that happened back in 1983, trying to instill fear and tell people in America that we don't know what we're doing when it comes to nuclear energy, and I disagree with that.
Yeah. Al, do you have a follow-up?
I think it's pathetic when the proponents of nuclear power have to resort to the charge that we're fear-mongering when we tell the truth about what happens to people who are in areas that are affected by radiation from uranium mining, uranium milling, the disposal of uranium mill tailings, and the containment of waste in areas that are not suitable for containing the areas and are affecting American Indian populations. This is the classic case of environmental racism. As long as it doesn't happen to white people, we can dump it on the Native people.
Yeah. He says it's not fear-mongering, it's the truth, Representative Honnadell.
Joy, I've heard both sides of the story. I trust American technology.
Yeah. Thank you, Al, for the call. Mike in Racine is next. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, I'm a proponent of nuclear power. One thing is we keep talking about Yucca Mountain as if that is a hindrance and waste. The biggest problem we have is we shouldn't be generating that amount of high-level waste to begin with. nuclear power, as we use it in the United States and most of the Western world, the fuel rods are recyclable. We can be doing just the same thing that the French have been doing for decades. They don't have the nuclear waste problem that we have because they recycle their nuclear power rods or fuel rods, and they get more power out of those rods after they recycle them. We, as a country, because of our fear of nuclear proliferation, they have put out moratoriums that they're not going to do the type of fuel recycling that the French are doing, and the French have been doing safely, successfully, without nuclear proliferation.
So this we're running short.
We don't need Yucca Mountain.
Oh, yeah. What about recycling this stuff, Representative Honnadell?
Well, this gentleman is absolutely correct in what I've listened to is in regards to testimony. We could use our nuclear rods much more efficiently, use them almost down to nothing, you know, so they don't have any energy value whatsoever. But it does create a debate in regards to having that nuclear material, you know, when he talks about nuclear proliferation and stuff, as far as weapons-grade material.
Yeah.
That is another debate which kind of hinders the process, and I do think at the end of the day, we should be able to overcome those hurdles and produce good, clean energy and then take care of our waste in a couple of different ways.
Yeah. Well, the waste question aside, we haven't really talked a lot about, you mentioned Three Mile Island in the mid-80s is what caused these restrictions and this moratorium to be put in place in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we still afraid that something like that could happen? And shouldn't we be afraid that something like that could happen?
Joy, I would say if anybody is afraid of a nuclear disaster or episode like that, I think it would just be sheer naivety. First of all, nobody died in Three Mile Island. It was a media exponenza or whatever you want to call it.
What about Chernobyl? We have a caller who wants to talk about that, so I'll just bring that up right now.
Okay, well, Chernobyl was a Model T compared to a Corvette.
Yeah, the technology is different.
Correct.
Today. Yeah. Joe in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. There's so many points here that need
to be addressed. I only have time for one.
The first one is the dismissive attitude that the representative has towards the waste problem. The waste problem is multifaceted. For one, there's high level waste and there's low level waste, and neither one of these has an adequate answer to this day. And neither one of them had an adequate answer since at least when I started following this issue, which was in 1974.
Joe, I'm going to have you hold on if you want to talk to our next guest because we're at news time. I want to give Representative Honnadell the last 30 seconds here to talk about the next step in this process to lift the moratorium.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Joy. What happens after alleged council study is if the study is successful, which this one was, and members from the legislature and the private sector and the public sector all kind of agree on an issue, we now are going to recommend it to the state legislature for a bill. And hopefully that bill will come to the floor and get passage, and then our governor will sign it. It's a big issue. There's no doubt. There's issues from energy and costs and global warming. But I, for one, do not want to stifle the industry. And in the long term, you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. We're at news time. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, May the 8th. And thanks again to all of you who contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio during our just concluded spring membership drive. We wrapped things up at about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon once we crossed the finish line, once we reached the goal of $275,000. And as promised, we ended the pledge drive then, and now we're on to regular programming. And the topic we're talking about this hour is whether or not Wisconsin should lift its moratorium on building new nuclear power plants. We heard from a guest, Mark Honnadell, Republican state representative from South Milwaukee, who served on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power in our last half hour, who said, yes, that we should lift this moratorium, that nuclear power is clean and safe, and there's no reason to have so many restrictions on the building of nuclear power plants. And now we will hear from a guest with a different perspective and continue to take your calls and thoughts on this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We talk now with Charlie Higley, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. He also serves on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
You do not want the legislature to lift this moratorium.
That's correct. The primary reason is that the moratorium protects Wisconsin consumers from the cost of nuclear power. Over the years, the nuclear power industry has constantly underestimated the cost of building new reactors. And these cost overruns that we incurred during the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s made nuclear power much more expensive than alternatives. So whenever we ended up building a nuclear power plant, we ended up paying more money than we would have otherwise.
Yeah. So just because it's more expensive?
That's the primary reason. The mm-hmm. second reason, though, is that nuclear power produces a waste, radioactive waste, for which there is no good solution. That's the other part of our moratorium. It says that if nuclear is too expensive, we shouldn't build it. And secondly, if there's no solution for disposing of the waste, we shouldn't build any additional reactors.
Yeah, well, our guest, Representative Honadel, said, you know, we have Yucca Mountain. That's perfectly a good place to store this stuff, and we should put pressure on the federal government to open that thing up.
Well, with all due respect to the representative, Yucca Mountain has serious flaws. Apparently, it's in an area with numerous earthquake faults. The nuclear waste is supposed to be isolated from any kind of water or other infiltration during the lifetime of its storage in the mountain. But scientists have found that water can penetrate into the proposed area in the mountain. So it means that the Yucca Mountain will not probably be able to safely store the nuclear waste if it's built at all.
Let me see if Joe in Milwaukee is still with us. Joe, are you there? I guess not. He wanted to make that point to our guest in the last half hour that he didn't think that Yucca Mountain was an adequate site, that it would leak and it wouldn't work. But is Yucca Mountain the only alternative for nuclear power plant waste?
Yes, right now, by federal law, Yucca Mountain is the only spot in the United States that can be studied or can be built to hold nuclear waste. There was a political compromise. No other state wanted to have a nuclear dump in their state. So basically all the other states ganged up in Nevada and forced Nevada to be the site.
Yeah. So right now the nuclear power plants in Wisconsin are storing this stuff right on site, right?
Oh, that's correct. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Well, some say that maybe that's not such a terrible idea either.
It's a real problem no matter which way you look at it. Anytime a nuclear reactor is running, then you're going to have nuclear waste on site. So nuclear reactors will always have nuclear waste on site, so that's always going to be a problem. Yeah. There's concerns about transporting the waste to Nevada or wherever a dump may be built. If you have accidents on the way, you know, it could spill nuclear waste. And then finally, will the final place be a safe place to store the waste? And right now, it looks like Yucca Mountain is not such a good option.
Yeah, but then we also heard from a caller or two who supported Representative Honadel's position in the last half hour, saying, "You know what? What's the alternative? Do we want to just keep on emitting these greenhouse gases from coal-fired power plants? All these other alternative energies really won't necessarily take care of all of our energy needs either."
Well, I think that's the part that hasn't been explored enough. I think that energy efficiency, if we make our homes and businesses more energy efficient, then we don't need to use as much electricity or natural gas or other fuels. So that's the first step. That means if we make our homes and businesses more efficient, then we won't need as many power plants. And then what power we do need can be provided by renewable energy. So the first key is energy efficiency. And then the second key is developing our renewable energy resources like electricity from the wind and the sun.
Yeah, let's take some callers. For you, Amy in Port Wing. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Well, I am definitely adamantly against nuclear power, and there's so many different issues, but I decided to talk about water. For one, nuclear power uses a tremendous amount of water, but as well as that, Wisconsin's very own Keweenaw reactor is right now contaminating groundwater with tritium. And it's found that a quarter of all U.S. reactors are leaking tritium into the ground. Well, of course, we know that this is not good for our health. It causes miscarriages, a tremendous of different things, and, of course, cancer.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know this. So, Amy, you say that this is a proven fact that nuclear power plants are leaking tritium into our groundwater?
Yes, that's exactly what I am saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a list here. Callaway, Missouri, St. Lucie, mm-hmm. Florida, Diablo Canyon, mm-hmm. California Prairie Island.
Yeah, Charlie Higley, is that a concern of yours as well?
Yes, I've heard of these leaks as well. The caller is right. Nuclear plants and coal-fired plants use a tremendous amount of water to cool the reactors as they're producing electricity. And so there's all sorts of ramifications from using these large power plants, large sources of power. And on one of them, on the unsung mentioned, is that there are releases of radiation from nuclear reactors into the environment. Mm-hmm. Tritium is just one of them.
Thanks, Amy, for the call. Tina in Mindoral. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I think something that should be added to the moratorium is any legislator that brings it forward that we should start up nuclear power automatically volunteers his district for the plant and the storage facility and see how his constituents feel about it. It's always nice to volunteer it forward when it goes somewhere else to somebody else, and you can assure them it's going to be safe. Try to assure your voting public that they want it in their yard. And the second thing being, I think they'd be a lot more interested in solar and wind energy if they could find a way to charge us for wind and sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Higley?
I think the caller is making great points. Large power stations, whether they're coal or nuclear fired, are not necessarily the best neighbors. What are we going to do with nuclear waste? Where is it going to be placed? And no one has figured that out, not only in the United States, but in the rest of the world either. Regarding renewable energy, it is far more that can be done to develop that resource.
We're talking with Charlie Higley, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin, who serves on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power, which will end up recommending to the state legislature to lift the moratorium on building new nuclear power plants in Wisconsin. Charlie Higley, a member of that committee, voted against that recommendation, and we're finding out why and welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk about the threats to plant and animal life on land and at sea. We'll be talking with an environmental journalist and author coming up after 8 o'clock. It's right now 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, May the 8th. We're talking with Charlie Higley, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin, who served on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power, which is recommending lifting the moratorium on building new nuclear power plants in Wisconsin, though Charlie Higley is a member of that committee that voted against that recommendation, and we're finding out why. Proponents say that nuclear power is safe and clean and is a viable option in this day and age of global warming. And Charlie Higley is saying that it's way too expensive and it's also dangerous in some ways. There's no place to dispose of this waste, among other things. And we'll go back to the phones and take our next caller, John in Poinette. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good morning. I served in the
U.S. Navy, and we were on a nuclear carrier. I know a little bit of nuclear power, and I know a little bit about technology. And I can tell you that while I'm a big proponent of nuclear power, theoretically, and I want to put more research into it, as of right now, nuclear power is just not viable. We do not have, your guests who have called in and to talk about the waste problem are absolutely correct. There is no way to store nuclear waste. And there's a lot of different kinds of nuclear waste. There's on-site, there's low-level, there's high-level. All of these waste products have to be dealt with, some of them for an extremely long period of time. If we think about technology as the answer, I can go back to when I started in the Navy and think about all of the changes that have happened since then, and there have been a lot of them, but one of them that hasn't happened is a way to store nuclear waste. There just hasn't been any scientific advancement in that area.
Yeah.
The problem is that if we look, project, you know, 60 or 100,000 years hence, which is the length of time that many of these wastes have to be stored safely and securely, I don't see a crystal ball that can take us that far into the future. I certainly don't see even a historical record that can show us what's happened in the past. All we have to do is look at the Titanic to think about the promise of technology and how it can be foiled.
Charlie Hagley?
Well, the caller's expressing many of the concerns that I've had regarding nuclear power for many years. There's no easy way to deal with the nuclear waste, and as the caller pointed out, the stuff remains radioactive and therefore dangerous for in some cases, hundreds of thousands of years. So it's a very serious problem.
Charlie Hagley, we heard from a caller in our last half hour, who said that storing this at Yucca Mountain is a bad idea, but it would also, as he put it, poison the native populations that live in that area. And he said an alternative to Yucca Mountain was the Menominee Indian Reservation here in Wisconsin. Is that true?
Well, back in the late 70s, early 80s, that area of Wisconsin up in the northeast part of the state, near the Wolf River, was looked upon as an area to store nuclear waste. But I just learned last week, actually, that those studies were stopped in 1983 when Congress chose Yucca Mountain as the as the future site for nuclear waste. So additional studies haven't been done on that area, but it is true that the Wolf River area was looked upon as a place to store nuclear waste.
Yeah. Jane in Fitchburg. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm with Charlie on his thoughts of exploring the other alternatives more, and I was just wondering if we took the money that would be used to build a nuclear plant and store the waste and change that into putting solar panels on people's houses. You know, how many houses could we outfit that way? Maybe that's a better alternative.
Joy, the caller is saying exactly what I'm trying to say as well. Energy efficiency and renewable energy are far more cost-effective ways for us to meet our energy needs than nuclear power ever has been or ever will be. All the money and effort that we would need to put into nuclear power could be far better utilized if it's put into energy efficiency and into the development of renewable energy. And in particular, those two technologies help Wisconsin. When we build nuclear plants, a lot of the money ends up leaving the state, especially for the fuel, which is not does not come from Wisconsin. But when we make our homes and businesses more energy efficient, a lot of the money we spend on doing so circulates in the Wisconsin economy. It even goes to manufacturers of that equipment that happen to be located in Wisconsin. And when we develop our renewable energy resources, we're doing the same thing. We're developing things that we have here in the state, and by spending money on it, we help our own economy. So those strategies, efficiency and renewable energy, provide direct benefits to people in Wisconsin, as well as saving us money in the long run.
Thanks to Jane. Jordan in Richland Center is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I had two comments that I wanted to make. One is just regarding nuclear energy, and I'm a scientist, and your first guest is completely naive in his comments. Nuclear energy is not ready for prime-time use. The disposal problems, the expenses, the life cycle of the power plant just is not adequate. So I think we need to move forward into alternative energies. Second point I wanted to make is I live in southwest Wisconsin. Alliant Energy is my provider, and I have the option of paying extra on my utility bill to support green energy. So they use that to support the use of wind farms, or they buy green energy from Minnesota. I think it's people would be willing to pay more for energy if they know it comes from a source that's renewable and not a fossil fuel source.
Charlie Hagley?
Yes, the caller again is emphasizing the very points. I've been studying this issue for a long time, and that's my conclusion too, is that nuclear is more expensive than alternatives, and it produces a waste that these alternatives like efficiency and renewables just doesn't have.
Yeah. Now, I can't rattle off a list of names, but I know that there are many scientists or academics with a scientific background here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison who are very vocal proponents of nuclear power and believe that that we are unnecessarily afraid of nuclear power and that we should be depending on this power for more of our energy needs. So our caller had mentioned that our guest, you know, didn't have a scientific background and was being naive. This is a debatable issue, isn't it, Charlie Hagley? There are scientists who think this is a good way to go.
No, that's true. But as I've been looking into this issue more, people have looked back at the promises made by the nuclear industry over the past 40 years, and in almost all cases, the nuclear industry underestimated the cost of how much it would cost to build nuclear reactors. And also, they've sidestepped the issue of dealing with the nuclear waste. So that's exactly what our law in Wisconsin protects us from. It says if alternatives to nuclear are less expensive, then we should choose those, not nuclear. If there's no solution for the nuclear waste, then we shouldn't build additional power plants.
Mm.
So when it's all done and said, there may be supporters for nuclear power, but the facts of the past 40 years support the position against nuclear, that nuclear is too expensive and it produces pollution and waste for which we have no solution.
Yeah. So why do the French use it so much? And is it true, as a caller mentioned in the last half hour, the French recycle the waste and the storage issue is not as big a deal there?
Well, the French do produce, I think, around 70% of their electricity from nuclear. I believe the French utilities remain under the control of the state government for the most part, so it's a little different model than here. The French and the Japanese do reprocess some of their nuclear fuel, which means they take the old fuel and strip out the bad stuff and try to reuse it. Different than recycling, but it's a reasonable enough metaphor. The trouble is these reprocessing plants produce a tremendous amount of radiation themselves, and they're very expensive. It's far more expensive right now to reprocess nuclear fuel than to make it from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't help the long-term costs for nuclear. And also the waste issue is very controversial in this reprocessing recycling model. From what I've read, it actually increases the amount of nuclear waste that needs to be dealt with, not decreasing it. So it's a very controversial topic.
And next is Dave in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just wanted to kind of weigh in on this issue. I feel like a lot of times nuclear energy isn't really compared to what it's really should be compared to. I mean, when you compare anything to solar and wind, I mean, solar and wind are always going to sound a lot better, but, I mean, no real serious energy economist that says that renewables are going to make up more than about 20% of the U.S. energy portfolio. And when you look at what you have to make up the balance with, it's going to be some combination of natural gas, coal, or nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're really serious about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, you should be comparing coal and natural gas to nuclear energy and not renewables.
We have less than a minute to go, Charlie Higley.
Well, I've heard on the nuclear fuel cycle, if you look at all of it, nuclear has only half the emissions of natural gas. In other words, nuclear produces half the global warming emissions of natural gas. But to get nuclear power built up to the point where it can really have an impact on global warming, it's just going to take too much of an investment. And finally, I think that that 20% figure, that's all we can get from renewables, is grossly understated. I really do believe that we can go beyond that. But so that's where the debate lies today, though.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Absolutely, Joy. My pleasure.
Charlie Higley, Executive Director of CUB, the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin, who served on the Special Legislative Committee on Nuclear Power. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour and Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.